Welcome, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Inside Harvard Football. Inside Harvard Football, presented by the Harvard Coop, a Harvard tradition since 1882. And as always, our time with Coach Orrick, well spent. The Crimson now at 3-0 after notching their second non-conference road win of the season. A little bit closer to home, traveling down the Mass Pike west to Holy Cross. And, well, I think we can safely say spoiling homecoming for the Crusaders. The final count, Harvard 59 and Holy Cross 24, as the Crimson again jumping out to a fast start to put away their opponent. Andy, welcome. And we talked last week. You looked at some of the comparative numbers of staying away from Holy Cross being 0-5, but how good they were from a defensive standpoint against some quality opponents. But that was pretty well erased again with a very impressive start, jumping on the Crusaders in the first quarter. And your mantra of protect and disrupt, I don't think was ever on better display as to how you guys got out to that very fast 21-0 lead.
Yeah, you hit it right in the head. That's how it happened. You know, we created some takeaways, and then we executed on offense and got the ball in the end zone, and you look up and you're in control of the game. So it's a good way to kind of get things started. And, you know, people may say like, oh, you know, the one, he just fell on the ball. But, you know, that's something we practice. We call it catch, tip, suck, squeeze. There's a certain way you recover a fumble. And if you don't do it correctly, that ball could come, you know, squirting out, and so they recovered it then. So, you know, some say lucky. I like to say we're prepared for it. It was a great game. And, you know, the turnover margin played a huge impact on why the score got out of hand.
No doubt about that. You know, once again, out of the gate strong. And, well, before we talk about any other aspect of his game, let's talk about Jaden Craig, the punter. Is he truly a triple threat, you know, kind of old school football? I mean, he's had two punts now, 49 and 59. And the 49 that really kind of set the tone, which created that first turnover. But, again, pretty impressive with his leg, not just with his arm.
Yeah, and it's you know, we go for it on fourth down a lot, and you know, we have the ability, if we like the look we see, we can go for it in some of those situations. If we don't, we can punt it. And yeah, that was probably I was the most excited during the game on that play. It was something you practice, and then to get it executed correctly and pinned inside the five, it was huge.
Xavier Agostino with the fumble recovery that led to the first touchdown, and the Crimson once again off and running. Then Henderson with the interception that got the game to 14. And then on the special team side, Riley Jenny, you know, with the block punt again, was that something that you picked up? Often coaches will talk about, well, you know, we studied the film from the special team standpoint. We maybe saw a little bit of a weakness there that we might exploit.
Yeah, they were like probably 50-50. They would roll out with their punter, or they would, you know, stay home and punch straight behind their shield guys. And we knew that if they didn't roll out, we had a good shot to get a block just with how they were protecting it. And Riley's the one who's got the most speed, that if he uses his technique correctly on his get off and shaves it tight, he can get to the block point. So definitely, you know, Coach Williams had that thing dialed up and was ready to go. And we were hoping they wouldn't roll, because rolling just makes it a lot harder, because, you know, the punter can have his eyes downfield and get the punt off quickly. So once we had it straight on, I knew it was only a matter of time that we were going to get one.
You got one there. And so fumble recovery points, interception points, block punt points. And again, every time we seem like we think we've exhausted the supply of offensive weapons, another one steps to the forefront in terms of the depth of this team. Case in point, Logan Risca with his first career touchdown. He hooks up with Craig, and then Tafari Moe figuring in very prominently to set up the third score there by Gil Martin. So, again, it seems like you just reach a little bit deeper, and practice must be a lot of fun from a competitive standpoint right now, Coach, from week to week, to see who's going to get the touches and who's going to get the reps and have an opportunity to be in the lineup.
Yeah, and it's a good problem to have, because, you know, guys can stay fresh. You know, Logan Risca, he you know, was a little banged up, and we were, you know, very careful with him to make sure when he did come back he was fully healthy. But He was practicing at a really high level during training camp. And, you know, he played a little bit for us in some short yardage goal line situations last year. You know, had kind of set himself up to have a bigger role this year. And it was good to see him get himself in the mix there and get the touchdown. And Tafari is one of those first years, like Ryan Tattersall, a receiver that, you know, they ascended the depth chart quickly during training camp. And even though maybe he hasn't been super productive up to this point until that game, I knew that was just a matter of time because Jaden's doing such a good job, you know, getting the ball to where it needs to be, going through his progressions. You know, that one was a screen, but he had to make the decision to throw the screen as opposed to hand it off. So, you know, it was good for both those guys to kind of get in the end zone for the first time.
And Dakar converted a field goal there early, second quarter, to extend to 24. That was a pretty impressive drive. It was 79-yard drive. And then on the defensive side, you had to love the red zone hold there with Agostino and Kinlock figuring in very prominently to thwart the Crusaders there who were trying to climb back into it.
Yeah, and the defense is just playing such good team defense. It's guys doing their job. And, you know, every game it could be somebody else who's leading our team in tackles because everybody's doing their job, letting the plays come to them, and really happy with how they've been performing every week on that side of the ball.
Yeah, really, it's been a swarming look to it. Bascone extended it further. And then the exclamation point just before the first half, just seconds remaining, was Craig. Once again, he's just making all the throws. Great throw to the end zone to Blackburn for the touchdown that basically then it was Jaden, you can take the second. You're done. You can take the second half off again this week with the finish there to Blackburn on the completion. And an opportunity to talk about Blackburn. He bookended it with the touchdown from Torres to begin the second half. He's our Crimson profile this week and enjoyed talking to him. And be great to just get your perspective on, once again, yet another weapon. I mean, you knew that there was going to be opportunity. Guys like Blackburn knew there was going to be opportunity at the receiver position this year because of departures. And the way that he stepped up and had a 100-yard-plus game and two touchdowns and showed some of his speed and some of his prowess.
Yeah, this past game was what we kind of expected from him going into the year. He has that ability to be kind of the lead dog in that room. And he, you know, every game he's been more productive, starting with Stetson, where he didn't get 8 touches, but that game was out of hand and he wasn't able to get in the flow to, you know, had a decent game versus Brown. And then this one, he really took off. So he's been consistent with how he's gone about practicing. I know Jaden's very comfortable with him. So again, it was a matter of time how that all played out. That end of the half, whole scenario was like awesome football because we score with after the 2-minute timeout, Baskin gets in the end zone. And, you know, I told the defense before then, hey, I'm going to put you in a two-minute situation here. Defense goes out, gets the stop. We get the ball back. And then it was the exact same thing. Hey, offense, we're going to be in a two-minute situation here. Let's go score a touchdown. Because it kind of gave us an opportunity to put ourselves in a little more challenging position to add a little stress. To execute that was amazing. And then following halftime with the touchdown, you know, I talked to them a lot about the middle eight, you know, the end of the first half, the beginning of the second half, that's where games can get out of hand. So, you know, it was 24-3 before Baskin scored a touchdown, you know, a little bit after the 2-minute warning. And then you fast forward to Brady's touchdown to start the second half, and it went from 24-3 to 45-3. And, you know, people in a blink of an eye, they go out and mow their lawn and they come back in. They're like, what the heck happened? But that's like complimentary football. That's how you can take over a game is by winning that middle eight. I've never seen somebody win the middle eight with 21-0. So that was a lot of fun to when I realized after the game how that all transpired.
Yeah, win it to just dominate that middle eight. Remarkable performance there, as it was really when you look at the some of the parts of the afternoon. Second half again, it gave you a chance for Torres to get some game speed experience. And speaking of speed, you know that Jordan Harris has the possibility to hit a home run at any time. and pretty impressive 75-yard jaunt there that extended the lead further and got him an opportunity to gain confidence.
Yeah, he they're wearing GPS systems during the game, so he hit 20 miles an hour. I told him Sunday at the team meeting, I was like, "Hey man, you're in the 20 mile per hour club now." It was very well blocked, and then he just ran away from everybody. So it was really good to see.
Yeah, he would have got pulled over in a school zone, Coach. Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Exactly.
20 miles an hour for Jordan Harris, 75 yards. Hitting a home run there to bring the Crimson over 50, which has been the company that you've been in here on a couple of occasions here early on. I don't know what we can say. I guess we hope we don't run out of superlatives for Jaden Craig, but 19 of 27, he throws for 245 and three touchdowns. And, again, I can't help but say he's just the reads, the comfort zone that he seems to be in this offense in terms of the reads and the decision making, and then the ability to not just read it, but then to make the throws and to be able to vary the throws as to what's needed in terms of touch and in terms of being able to, you know, drill it when you have to. It's just been almost a clinic in quarterback play for him.
Yeah, he's such a perfectionist because, you know, we go into halftime and I grab him and I was like, "Hey, you're done for the day." And he's like, "No, I can't be done." He's like, "I left a lot of throws out there. You got to let me go back out for at least one more drive." And I was like, "No, Jaden, you're done, man. You're done." And which allowed us to, you know, we left the first line out there to start the second half. And I wanted to give Dante some experience behind that unit and just let him run the offense. And he did a great job in that drive, really performed well. So, you know, we got the work in the first half with Jaden. We got him out of there healthy, and we were able to get Dante some work running the offense normally and not just, you know, milking the clock because we're up by a lot. So it was from a quarterback perspective, I was very happy with how the entire game went.
No doubt. And one other name, I'm just looking back at my notes there on the defensive side of the ball, the great overall performance collective, as you talk about performance and swarming defense and the numbers that you're starting to show defensively. But Alex DeGreek, he was a guy, you know, one of the really kind of the most, I believe, experienced. If you added up reps and plays on defense coming in, and you knew he had to be a leader in a leadership role as a senior. He really has, and he had a day for himself there with the two sacks and two tackles for a loss among his opportunities that he had on Saturday. A real force off the edge.
Yeah, he's playing. The word I described on Sunday when I showed one of the sacks is he's playing really violently. And when you do that, like you're just a very disruptive player. So that was great to see. And you know, he got the credit on that sack, but the other two D linemen in there were very disruptive and playing violently, and it ended up leading to him getting the sack on it. So, you know, that group, you know, he got the two sacks, but that group, just in general, they're playing with a lot of violence, and because of that, they're very disruptive in the run and pass game.
Indeed the case. And getting back on the offensive side there for a minute with Jaden and his performance, he seems to be in a position now where. Once again, when I talk about his comfort zone, a big part of that comfort zone has been the job that the offensive line has done. I mean, it's the ultimate, whenever I talk about it, some of the parts. I mean, you may have an all-star, you may have a couple of all-stars, but to me, there's nothing quite like an offensive line in any sport in terms of what the sum of the parts means and what the collective means for a group. And I mean, he has been almost untouched back there, and Torres also, in terms of what they've done as an offensive line, in terms of protection, run blocking all around. But I think particularly with the protection for Jaden on his situations where he's thrown the ball.
Yeah, and, you know, it all starts with them all being on the same page and communicating so that they are on the same page. And when you have a group of guys that do that and they're talented, you're able to protect the way we've protected so far. Now, this week, when we start talking about this week, you know, this will be a challenge because of what they do defensively to make sure our guys are, you know, executing at a high level and communicating so that we are on the same page.
And looking at Cornell, they've had a disappointing start, opposite from you and the Crimson at 0-3. They had a tight game against Albany. Got out and were in pretty good position against Yale. And turnover plagued team here the last couple of weeks, Coach, and then last week was really magnified in their game against Colgate. But what do you see there with Dan Swanstrom, also in his second year as you are as a head coach in the Ivy League?
Yeah, they offensively, they are able to move the ball. You know, they put up some points versus Yale and were able to put up some points this past week and had some, like, untimely turnovers that ruined some drives for them. So, you know, if they – on offense, if they can take care of the ball better, like, they're going to be challenged for us because Coach Swanstrom is a really good coach. He's calling the offense. You know, he was really good when he was the offensive coordinator at Penn, and you see a lot of similarities to what they're doing there. And, you know, they challenge you with – formationally, they challenge you with their look-back system. Our guys really got to do play a high level of execution out there every single play, and 11 guys doing that. And then, you know, their defense, they are definitely a little different than last year, but the chaos and the blitzing that they did last year, like, that carries through this year. And that's why it's so important that, you know, the offensive line, starting with the offensive line and tight ends, like, we're all on the same page because they are going to move the front, they're going to blitz. And if we're not all on the same page, like, that's going to mean someone's cut free, and that's going to equal TFLs and sacks. So it's a really good challenge for our guys. And then being on a short week with the defense, yep, like that, you know, that's, you know, these guys, as I told them after practice today, like, the hay is not in the barn. You need to continue to prepare, watch tape, go over the game plan, and, you know, close the gap on your understanding of what we're trying to do versus this team. Because you don't have as much time as you normally do.
So important with a team that is going to throw a lot at you to have recognitions for your protections, or, as you said, it could lead to some difficult situations for you.
For sure. And they've done a great job so far, and I know they will take advantage of, you know, every second they have between now and 7 p.m. on Friday to make sure that they're prepared the right way.
And it will be, you've had Saturday Night Lights, and now for home game two of the 25 season, Tim Murphy Field, it'll be Friday Night Lights this week.
Yeah, are you excited to see the light show? You score some points here. We're going to have the lights flashing on and off.
Exactly. Between that and the drone show at halftime last week, right?
Yeah, I don't know if we got a drone show this time.
No, drone show this week. But the way the Crimson have been lighting up the scoreboard has certainly been impressive. It's been a light show in and of itself. And, you know, once again, you look at Cornell last year at 4-6 overall, 3-4 in the league, and some quality wins. It's a team that beat Yale, Princeton, and Dartmouth a year ago, Coach.
Yeah. I mean, they have talent on that team. And, you know, their quarterback, they have two quarterbacks they've been playing. And, you know, they pulled the one when he – you know, threw two picks early in the game, and the other guy came in and was, you know, marching the ball up and down the field. They got number nine, they're one of the receivers, is a really good player. They're big up front. And, you know, defensively, like, they're playing really hard. You know, it seems like they maybe simplified their scheme a little bit to allow the guys to be more confident in doing and play really hard. So, you know, what they did last year, I fully expect them to have one of those games this year, if not more. And I just want to make sure it's not us. And our guys are preparing the right way so we can go out there and execute.
And they knew that life would be different without Jamison Wang because he was such a special player. But it looks like, they put points up. I mean, they've 45 points the last 2 weeks. So it looks like they're making the adjustments and a challenge again. And, you know, once again, 1-0 each week, Coach. And best of luck here moving forward. Second Ivy League test of the season.
Thank you very much. Hoping everybody can get out there for the game. Let's pack that stadium.
Friday Night Lights for the Crimson this week against the Big Red of Cornell. And thank you to Coach Orrick for joining us here on Inside Harvard Football, presented by the Harvard Coop, Harvard tradition since 1882.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to this week's edition of Inside Harvard Football. Inside Harvard Football, presented by the Harvard Coop, Harvard tradition since 1882. And our player profile this week is sponsored by the Harvard Federal Credit Union and our friends there, and about to make a new friend here on the program, our Crimson Profile. We're going to be on the offensive side this week. Hopefully we won't offend anybody, but we'll be on the offensive side. And we will have wide receiver out of Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, no less, Brady Blackburn. Brady, welcome. And as I just mentioned, as a guy that's pretty deeply immersed with not only football but hockey, I'm always intrigued by a guy that comes down south from Canada. This has happened. I'm going to give you a little history lesson here in a few minutes. Not unusual and not unprecedented to have a top wide receiver at Harvard from Canada, but still a little bit of an aberration. Your football background obviously speaks for itself to have the opportunity to come here and have a great opportunity with the Crimson.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been awesome to come down here. Obviously unexpected for me coming out of Saskatchewan, but yeah, it's been a blessing so far, and I'm having a great time.
How did they find you? How did you find Harvard? What was the process like in terms of recruiting?
Yeah, my process was weird and definitely stressful. Going into my junior year, so the summer before my senior year, I just went to two mega camps. Just me and my dad wanted to give it a shot to try to come play down in the States, and obviously Harvard is a place that I think many people would want to come play at, so... Went to a couple camps. Those mega camps are like busy, a ton of kids, not a lot of reps, but grinded a couple out, and I got seen by just Harvard. They reached out. The recruiting process was long, and obviously, my film from Saskatchewan, like nobody trusted it, even though it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, eventually we got the deal done. They were calling me, stopped calling me, and. Called back after a couple guys decommitted or a guy decommitted, and I got on the squad. So it was definitely a long, stressful time, but we made it, and I'm so happy for it.
Indeed, you did, and that goes back to Coach Murphy before Andy arrived, correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah, that was just during the switch, so that also made it difficult with head coaches switching, position coaches switching around. It was a lot of moving parts, but they got me here somehow, so I'm happy.
Well, I think we're all very happy in Crimson Nation with what we've seen of you this season. And there was clearly, there was openings, and the opportunity was knocking at the wide receiver position. And I'm sure you knew that after your freshman year with some departures of members of the senior class from a year ago. And also a pretty important receiver who's now at Duke. So I guess you probably knew, hey, I work hard, I make the most of the opportunity. I develop a little bit of a simpatico with Jaden Craig, and I could be right where I am now, which is a prominent member of the offense.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Watching Coop and just learning from him last year really helped me a lot, and he took me under his wing a little bit. It was just great to have a guy like that in the room to really learn from. And with him leaving, like, obviously I was sad to see him leave. I wanted to learn from him a little bit more. I loved having that guy in the room, but definitely opened up some opportunities, and Craig, as Craig is an unreal quarterback, really makes his receivers look good. So it's just been a great time, and yeah, I'm grateful for it.
You got on the field not always easy as a first year a year ago. Got action in, I believe, 7 games. You had 4 catches, kind of got a little bit of an opportunity to acclimate to what you were involved with in the Ivy League. And that's really a question that comes to mind. As far as the level of competition that you faced in high school at Aiden Bowman High School up in Saskatoon, what was the adjustment coming to the Ivy League? Was it really dramatic in terms of speed and coverage and the rest of the elements that go into playing your position?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing I did learn was I thought the change would be super dramatic. I really thought that it would just open my eyes to what football really is, but I learned that football is football. Like, no matter where you play, sure. No matter where you are, I think obviously guys are bigger, faster, stronger. You'll have, you know, better quarterback. Everybody is better, but if you can play, you can play. And I was nervous about that coming in. Like, I hadn't played the competition, played different rules. I never really had gone off of press release or done releases against DBs before, but...
Right.
But yeah, I learned. Sorry, you go ahead.
Oh no, continue.
I learned that, like, if you can play, you can play, and definitely was some changes, just like stance wise, the rules of the game are different than what I played in high school, but
Tell us now, just a little bit of insight would be helpful. What is the biggest difference in terms of specifically to your position and playing wide out and functioning at that position from how you grew up to how you play now in the Ivy League? What would you say is at the top of that list?
Yeah, so for people who haven't watched Canadian football before, first I recommend you watching it. But the way playing wide receiver works is if you're a wide out, you stand on the ball just like you do in America. But if you're playing slot, any tight end position, you can everybody can motion at the same time, and you can motion before the snap. So how I played growing up, I played in the slot, and I would start 9 yards before the ball and time my snap. So I'd have a run-up on the DBs and time the snap with the cadence. So when the ball snapped, I'm running through the line of scrimmage, and that's how I'd run all my routes. So it was different in that aspect. I'd never, just lined up and had a guy a yard away from me or just right on me, pressing me, and I had to go get open. So that was definitely a big switch up for me. I got made fun of for the way I stood in my receiver stance. I got pressed up a couple of times. But I guess a welcome to the league type moment. But yeah, you just learn and adapt. And I mean, like I said, I think if you can play football, you can play football. And yeah, I guess it's worked out.
Well, you played it pretty well there with all the accolades from high school. You two-time captain, two-time team MVP. The top, I guess, not state, but the provincial top wide receiver in Saskatchewan. You were the school athlete of the year twice. Your team was city champs. You also played a club-level team there, so you got more reps and more experience. And an outstanding all-around athlete, the basketball captain, Brady. And also, I took a look at inside your track numbers. Wow, not surprisingly, you got records at 10.7 in the 100. 21.9 in the 200 and a 51.4 in the 400. So you really enjoyed. I figured you really. I assumed you weren't a shot put thrower. I figured you probably ran, and ran you did. So you got some pretty good, pretty high end track numbers there at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, I mean, I love playing everything. I grew up playing sports. My whole family plays sports. My mom ran track and my dad played football, so it was a good mix. And yeah, I've loved track all my life. High school track was a really big part of me just becoming a better athlete and just having fun in general. So yeah, I still enjoy going to the track. Usually on my off days, I'll put the spikes on and go feel fast and relive those days. But yeah, I mean, I think that it's great as a kid just to play different sports, have a good time. It's really the bottom line. But yeah, it really helps with just becoming a better athlete, a better player at any type of sport.
No doubt. I'm a firm believer in that in terms of the variety, the versatility, not getting burned out in any particular area, but trying to maintain that is pretty significant. So you obviously are an advocate of that theory. And really, your breakout, if you will, once again, you knew that with Coop leaving, as you mentioned, and Scotty Woods and the departures from a year ago, that there was going to be, Caden, there was going to be opportunities with Odermann leaving at that position. You really had the breakout in the spring game with two 23-yard touchdown receptions. I was there for that. You had six catches for over 102 touchdowns in the spring game. I guess that was kind of your welcome to Harvard, and probably felt pretty good going into the summer training program, I would assume, about the fact that, hey, I not only do I belong, I can thrive. I can be an impact guy here.
Yeah, definitely. I can't give any more. Jaden Craig is a great football player, and he really puts the ball in spots where I can go make a play, and it really just came down to opportunity. I mean, with all them leaving, I knew there was going to be a big opportunity to step in and make some plays. And yeah, the spring game was awesome. I mean, coming out and really putting it all together, what we've done in practice, especially just at the end of all our spring camp, it really felt good. And it was a good segue into summer training and just the fall, knowing that there will be opportunities there, and it's really just time to go make plays.
With Jaden coming off the injury at the end of last season, did you have a chance to make up some ground with him over the summer, Brady, in terms of starting to get acclimated once again? So important to kind of get in sync with each other.
Yeah, definitely. Over the summer, we were here really just running routes every day, watching film. It's a really good time, and it obviously takes a minute to really start clicking, and it took a minute for us, but once we started clicking it, it's just gone up from there. So yeah, the work we put in the summer is really just paying off right now, and yeah, it's working out. So I'm super excited for the rest of the season.
Certainly off to a good start, and once again, you're a breakout game for you, if you will. You got 9 catches in the first 3 games. Your first 2 touchdowns and a 100-yard game, 5 catches, 114 against Holy Cross this past Saturday. Everything seemed to be working for you. Great precise route running. The catch you made the corner of the end zone was big at the end of the half to get a little more distance. And then bookended that by scoring again. Different quarterback, same result with Craig sitting down at the end of the first half.
Yeah, no, it felt good. And, I mean, again, like, our coach is putting us in good spots. Craig throwing good balls. Dante throwing good balls. It was fun. And our offense has been rolling. I hope we can keep it rolling. And I know we will. We've put a lot of work in up to this point. So we're just reaping the benefits of the summer, of the spring right now. So yeah, I'm just excited for the year. I mean, Craig is an NFL level quarterback, and it's so much fun to play with him. So yeah, I got the opportunity. Craig threw some good balls. Coach put us in good spots, and yeah, it worked out well.
You mentioned about the fact that you enjoy a number of different sports and have growing up. So I always dig deep in my research. I pride myself on that. And I found the note that you actually did play hockey for about a decade growing up. The note I saw was ended around COVID, but that you were, quote, an elite-level hockey player who was being scouted by, I assume, that the WHL out there in the CHL, that they were taking a look at you out west, that you might have ended up in Medicine Hat or somewhere.
Wow, you do your research. Oh my goodness! But yeah, no, I think that also, yeah, that is insane that you know that. But yeah, I played a ton of hockey growing up. You know, was skating a lot back in Saskatchewan. That's really what we do. but yeah, I played a ton of hockey, and I think that really helps just being able to play at an elite level of any sport. Just understanding how to take coaching. Really just working hard and dedicating yourself to your craft. Obviously, for me, it didn't work out with hockey. I was skating too much, got burned out, really didn't love the game anymore. But yeah, I spent a really long time playing hockey, and all my friends played hockey. So that was, like, a big part of me growing up, and just becoming a man just knowing how to take coaching. And I really grew up in those times, so I think that really helped me moving on to this level. Just not a lot of people have experienced that, and it's really a skill. So I think hockey growing up, I mean, I had the best time playing, and yeah, I miss those days sometimes, but yeah, that definitely helped in just the development of who I am as a person. So yeah.
Oh, no doubt. And also, I guess you enjoy chess as a pastime. And did you see the series, The Queen's Gambit? That was about as good a show, I think, that they could have put out there as far as drama and chess.
Yeah, I watched a little bit. I had my chess phase in high school. I don't play as much now, but yeah. I mean, as much as I like sports, I am a bit of a nerd. I like math. I like chess, which is different from, I mean, different and the same from lots of guys around here. So yeah, I like doing those things. I just like having different aspects of life in general. I think you have to, especially in a place like Harvard, really take in everything you can take in and take advantage of the opportunity here. So yeah, I do nerd out a little bit, things of that nature. But yeah.
And well, that's quite all right, because you know you're in the right place, Renaissance man. And I noticed also you picked up on the guitar. You've been learning to work and learn on the guitar too. So you got a music interest too.
A little bit. High school was my guitar era. Took some classes. I still play once in a while. I actually don't have a guitar here, but yeah. I mean, it's always fun to just pick up the guitar, put on the lyrics of a song or the chords, and just drum along. And yeah, my dad was a big musician as well, so I like picking up the guitar once in a while, for sure.
Well, very well-rounded and not surprised. It personifies the whole concept of Harvard and Harvard football. I hope I can get out there and run with you. I did. I ran some routes with DePrima practicing before the Yale game. I wasn't running a 4.5 40 with him, but we did connect. So hopefully I'll get out there in the practice field. Maybe you let me go wide. You could go to the slot, Brady, okay? We could see if we could confuse him.
Let's do it. Just let me know.
Absolutely. Next up is Cornell. Your thoughts with the Big Red and getting to play Friday Night Lights this week?
Oh, yeah. I'm excited for that one. It'll definitely be a good time. Anytime you can play under the lights, especially with we got new lights in the stadium.
Yes.
Should have fans to stand. It should be a good one for sure.
Indeed. Well, and this is a revelation. We're talking to a kid from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, who's playing for Andy Orick. And not a left shot, a puck moving defenseman playing for Teddy Donato. So there you go. That's
there you go.
And as I said, your history lesson, my friend, not unprecedented to have a big time Harvard wide receiver from north of the border. Are you familiar with the work of Marco Iannuzzi?
I am. I reached out to him. We're gonna hop on a Zoom meeting. Within the next week, I believe, but I'm super excited to talk to him. Heard great things from Coach Williams, who he played with.
Yes.
With Marco, and I think Marco's from Calgary, Alberta.
That's correct.
Played some hockey in the day, so
yes.
I'm super excited to talk to him. Had a big career in the CFL, and yeah, that's really a guy you look up to, so I'm excited about that.
Absolutely. I got to know Marco when he was here, his class, I think it was 2012, and he did. He had a great career in the CFL. So I thought that would be nice for you to connect with him. So I'm pleased to hear. Let me know how that Zoom call goes. Hopefully it'll go well. You make a new friend. There you go.
Yeah, for sure. I'll let you know. I'm excited for it.
Absolutely. Well, we're excited to watch you and your influence on the passing game and connecting with Jaden Craig and whoever else might be a quarterback and worked out really well. Brady, thanks very much. Really appreciate you joining us. And good luck. Friday Night Lights will be calling with Cornell and back to Ivy League play this week. All the best.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Brady Blackburn, our Crimson Profile this week, sponsored by the Harvard Federal Credit Union here on Inside Harvard Football, presented by the Harvard Coop, a Harvard tradition since 1882.